Hello, hello, and we are back. Season two in full effect, kind of.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
We're back, bitches.
Chon chon.
Don't call it a comeback.
We're not. We're barely coming back. We're going to ease our way back into this one. So,
hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of Tame the Dog,
Slay the Kitty. So, pretty much, man. I mean, we're just going to play catch up and let's just reflect on 2020 and... You know, maybe let's towards the end we'll look forward to what's to come in 2021.
Interesting year for sure.
It's not been
dull at all.
No, I'm trying to think if it's been the most interesting year of my life though.
Hmm.
When you put it in comparison to like everything else that like has happened or transpired, I think consistency wise, I guess it's been the most like different
because we've been
you're adjusting to everything, right? Like the smallest things you adjust to.
But you brought it up earlier. We were talking. I think some things are for the better.
Yeah,
and some things, yeah, they need to change. We need to improve. But I'll say for me, I don't know if I can call the word interesting. But I can definitely tell you it was very self-reflective.
Yeah.
On me, on my surroundings, on my outlook.
Dude, for sure. I think for a lot of people.
The outlook of the country.
Yeah.
You know, politically, medically, emotionally, financially wise. I'm talking about every aspect of our society. I think not only was put to the test.
Yeah.
But it also failed.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Dore... On if you guys follow Jimmy Dore on YouTube, he's a political commentator, and he actually brought this that kind of like didn't think of it, and then when he said it, I was like, he's fucking right. He's like, this is a failed state.
Yeah.
It failed. Once you cannot even feed your citizens, you have failed.
Yeah.
Right. And we're still going through it.
Yeah, we're still in the thick of it.
We're still in the thick of it. I think this is probably gotten worse than when it started.
Yeah, but for different reasons, I think. Yeah. I think it's gotten worse in the sense of, I think there was at first when all this was happening, and by this we're talking like the pandemic.
Yeah.
Wait,
what?
Yeah.
There's a pandemic?
Yeah.
What the hell?
You didn't hear about it?
Really?
I think it was on the news the other day.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's gotten worse in the sense of, I think before, like earlier this year, like people were just like, I guess, accepting of the precautions, you know, and it was just like, okay, this is what we got to do.
So now we're going to do it.
And then, you know, that happened for a good amount of time. I think people just felt like they did their deed. And now the reason it almost feels worse and looks worse is people were just sick of it, man.
You can't blame
How could
them.
You not be?
How can you not be?
There's resistance on top of like, all right, now on top of now we're in this, you know, they're calling it the second or third wave now, I think.
They call it the second wave, but I think this is the third one.
Yeah, I read somewhere it's considered the third because the second one was in...
Somewhere in June.
In July. Yeah. So, you know, you figure now there's resistance. Now people don't want to listen anymore. Well, they're not being as precautious.
Did you blame them?
Again, I can't.
I can't either.
I can't blame them, man.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, let's just call it what it is, right? Like, I think between you and I, we both very much agree... You know, can you do the bare minimum?
The Trump got his election robbed.
No,
you were saying. Yeah.
No, I think overall, if we can speak to everybody,
yeah.
I mean, just do the bare minimum. Wash your fucking hands.
Wear a mask,
and you know, if you're in a public space.
Yeah, yeah.
But honestly, I think so long as people just do that, what more can you ask of people nowadays? You know, now. Yeah. You know, our great holy governor, doesn't want us to gather around the holidays.
You mean Barbie's new boyfriend?
Ken
Newsom?
Doesn't want us to gather around the holidays. We can't be in big groups. Like, you know, on top of everything else that they've asked, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Curfews, restrictions on dining, schools going back to fully remote, like...
Yeah, which that's going to also have a huge implication in the next coming years because not every kid is cut out for that.
Yeah, of course.
So some kids are going to be truly left behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was reading an article that they were saying like a very small percentage. I think they were saying 5 or 7% of the kids online they're actually exceeding. But fucking, what is it? Only 93%. Some of this kid needs structure. Actually, some kids actually getting structure from school.
Yeah,
they're getting food from school. Yeah. You know, and they're losing all this structure. You know.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be tough, man. I feel bad for the kids.
Yeah, I mean it is. I think there's like,
hang in there, little Kevin.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. It's just a lot, man. It's been a rough year.
Yeah.
I think just a lot of constant adjustment.
Yeah. But let's take this from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So
what the hell happened in January?
Like, I don't remember. Like, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I was like thinking the other day. I was like, what was I doing like in January, February? I'm like, I couldn't.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I was like, I was about to tell you, like, do you remember what happened?
Yeah.
No. That month was a blur.
Yeah.
I do remember February a little bit. And of course, March for many reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's take it to the beginning. Okay. Did you, for New Year's Eve 2019 going on to 2020, right? What were your hopes
for 2020?
Yeah,
I mean,
we didn't know anything, so
yeah. I don't know. I think my hopes for 2020 were just like, I mean, you're talking, I mean, I had just had a kid, so I mean, for me, it was just I was in full, almost like autopilot. Yeah. I was like, don't fuck up.
He's like, as long as I don't drop this kid, yeah, it's so a
long
win.
So long as this kid doesn't die, bro. Like, my goal was like her birthday. I was like, all right, if I can make it to one, like year. I succeeded.
There you go.
And matter of fact, it was actually like pretty funny. I remember like thinking New Year's Eve, I was like, man, I just hope that she's like, I can keep her happy, and you know that like, I'm going to learn a lot from this kid, and you know, thankfully, like so far, she hasn't gotten sick at all. Like I was very hopeful, and like 2 days later, she gets sick, or like the day after, she got sick. I think on like January 1st or 2nd.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, and it was like the first time she ever got sick since birth, and you know, so that was all new to me, right? Dealing with a sick newborn, like trying to like, you know, syringe in the fucking Tylenol. And
was it intense?
I mean,
what was your take? Did it tap in your fatherhood?
I mean, I'm a very, you know, I notice this, I get into this, like, I don't know if you want to call it like a mode or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I always refer to it as like, I just go into like autopilot, right? Like, it's this instinct that just kind of takes over where I become very like nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am now, call it like Papa Bear, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like overseeing, and you know, it happens more often than people think.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't really show. Now I'll give you an example in a second, but you know, when it came to when Olivia, since she was first born, you know, it's just make sure she's fed and make sure she's, you know, resting correctly, make sure, you know what I mean? I was just constant, you know, along obviously with my wife, but you know, postpartum,
mm-hmm.
In any, you know, in any birth, whether it went perfectly well or if it went with some complications, even in the best case scenario, when it goes perfectly well, there's still recovery time. You know what I mean? You can't expect, I mean, for me, I never had the expectation that it's like, oh, I'm not going to be involved and take care of this kid, you know, from day one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm so going to.
It's not like you have an option.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, but, you know, it's amazing to me, like, to hear. I mean, I've heard stories where it's just like, there'll be girls that, like, have just had their kid, had a C-section, and they are still the ones that have to do the feedings and, you know, clean and
they have
go
to,
out to the market. And I'm just like, how in the fuck? I was like, dude, how is a man? I mean, I get it. Listen, I think, you know, it's pretty amazing. Like a lot of guys that don't even get like parental leave and they can't even be there, you know, for maybe the first week or so or month.
We're in the wrong country, bro.
Of course.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a big deal, man.
How,
like, you need that support from that other person.
What was almost the max you can get as a paternity leave?
So Okay. So altogether, as a father, you're entitled to 12 weeks.
3 months.
Yes.
How much?
But there's a contingency.
What is it?
The contingency is that it's 12 weeks of like family leave, but it's 8 weeks. I think it's something like 8 weeks of disability. So you're only reimbursed 12. For 8 weeks.
Oh. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So what that means is like, so look at like vacation time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's pretend you're making, let's pretend you have 100 hours of vacation time. Mm-hmm. Well, disability covers, it was something like 75 or like 70%.
Okay.
So then the rest of those hours, 30% of your hours, come out of your bank every single, you know, time you get paid.
They're right? deducting from it.
Right. So realistically, when you think about it, it's up to 12 weeks, but it only goes as far as your how much vacation time you've saved.
That's kind of fucked up.
Right? So if you've only saved enough hours to take 2 weeks off to still be paid out by disability, thankfully, right, then cool. If you had, if you have an employer that doesn't offer you vacation time or hours, or it's very minimal to the point where you use it throughout the year, then you're risking just going without work at that point.
That's crazy.
And not being paid out.
Doesn't Europe has that for paternity leave? I heard
3 months. 3 months paid out 100%.
Paid 100%, yeah. Right?
And then you can extend it.
And then that probably will become, that will start as what you're going through from day one.
Right. Right. And then, then you use your, but mind you, that's, so Europe is actually interesting, right? So certain countries have, the most common is they give you, it's like a 3 month paid out for men. I think women get up to a year.
Oh, really? Cool.
And then that doesn't count your most businesses and companies in Europe that employ their employees give them a 3 month, let's call it paid time off period, like their vacation time.
Yeah.
So that's not counting those 3 months. So you could literally take up to probably 6 months as a father.
Okay. Cause if you include the vacation time.
Right. Yeah. So it's what do they call it? Holiday.
Holiday.
Like, yeah. They refer to it as holiday, right? Not.
Why we change that word to vacation though?
Why?
Yeah.
Because we're American. That's why.
Yeah. Fuck that. I mean, don't we learn from, I mean, we were so mad at the British.
Oh, dude. We
back
changed
in that. Back in that day that we're
we
like.
We changed everything.
We changed the metric system.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Like, oh, we're not going metric. Let's go standard.
Yeah.
Like
we go idiot. Standard. Yeah.
Yeah.
We changed miles from kilometers.
Yeah.
Celsius from Fahrenheit.
Yep.
That upset
the
we were.
The birth date.
We're
I think one of two only countries that do month, day, year.
Yeah,
Everywhere else it's standard day, month, year.
Crazy, dude. Crazy.
Yeah.
Man, we were really upset at the British.
Oh, we hate them, bro. We hate them. But anyway, how the fuck did we get here? We're talking about
vacation instead of holiday.
Well, we were referencing like the time off as a parent. And anyway, man, to get back to the bigger point.
Yeah.
For anyone that's a single mother or father and has had to go through that like by themselves,
yeah,
man, all power to you.
Thank you.
Because holy shit, bro.
Thank you.
It's a lot.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a lot. It's a lot. You don't realize how it's the stuff you don't recognize. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that you have this instilled fear that you're always doing something wrong and the mental toll that takes on you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's the constant worrying. Like I think we've shared this before.
Yeah.
I'll never know what it's like to not worry. I don't have that built in me anymore. That part of my life is gone.
So that's been activated.
Yeah. Mm. It's just
the worrisome.
Yeah. Like as I could sit here now talking to you,
but you're still thinking about it.
But it's in the back of my mind. It's like, you know, how's
she doing?
How's she doing? She's sleeping right now, hopefully. But you know, the greater point is, it's like, you know, being that's a being supportive in that post birth.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very eye opening. Mm. So I kind of, like I said, I kind of go into this mode, and you know, and I felt like, you almost feel like bad because it's like, as a father, you kind of like, I've shared this before. If there's one tip I can give you, if the day you ever become a father, and for anyone who's expecting, and or, you know, wants to be a father one day, who's listening. The hardest thing for me was, you know, mothers, you guys have an instant connection with your child because it was, you carried your child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You felt it flutter. You felt it move.
You feed the child.
You feed it. You know what I mean? Every time you drink something cold, you know, it gets a reaction, like the kid will move, you know?
Yeah.
There's this bond, you know, and granted, not every, I'm from, you know, I've also heard that some people just, some women just don't connect. That's just kind of how they are.
They just don't have it in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the majority, right? So as a father, like, I always expected like this overwhelming of emotion of like, I'm going to have this connection once I have my kid. You know what I mean?
Got it.
And like, I wanted to match.
Oh,
yeah. I wanted to match the connection that like my wife had with her. Right?
You're so such a fool, dude.
And dude, it's so nuts. Cause like those first few months and even at birth, like you're emotional, like in the sense of like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
this
is like real. But I mean, facts are facts. Babies are boring as shit. Newborns are boring as fuck. Bro, they sleep, they shit,
yeah,
they eat, and then it just starts all over
again. They're basically Garfields.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where it's like, even all the moments I had with my kid, if I was rocking her to sleep, singing to her, to the point where, you know, then we got to the point where she was taking bottles and I was also doing some feedings, you know. Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for this, like, connection. You know what I mean?
The moment.
I kept waiting for this, like, and I thought there was something wrong with me, man. Mm. Because I just wasn't getting it. I think I kept telling myself, you're an autopilot. You are, right now, you're an autopilot. Like, you're just doing what needs to get done to provide for this kid, care for this kid, nurture this kid. That's what you're doing. You're doing what you're supposed to do as a father, and you're doing what you're supposed to do as a husband, right? Helping your partner too, right? On top of that.
Yeah.
And it took a few months. A few months. 3 months is probably when it like finally started to be like.
Was it a moment?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the funniest thing. I was changing her. She was like on the change table. And, you know, like I do. Like I do all the time, nothing different.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said something about what we were going to do today. And then she just gave me this like reaction, this like smile. And then like, she kind of just like gave me this like face. And that moment right there, I was all like, oh my God. I was like, this is crazy. I realized at that moment, I was like, you know, you have an idea of what love is in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I feel like every time you end up falling in love, you always reach a new ceiling. And as much as you could love a significant other, the love you have for a child is just, I wouldn't say it's like better, but it's crazy more intense.
It's higher.
It's just way more intense because it's like it's the innocence. You know, when you fall in love with somebody, you fall in love with who they are.
Pretty much the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Whether they, you know, are
yeah, like
sweet to you, great to you.
Yeah.
can be fucking emotional, can be stubborn, whatever. Listen, when you fall in love with that person, you fall in love with that person. But they are what they are.
Yeah, they are what they are. And there's the things that they've been through that you haven't been there.
Right, man.
And you just got to accept them for who they are.
So the love for your child.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
It's just like, it's the innocence where you automatically, you don't want them in any way, shape, or form to be hurt, you know, to be denied anything.
Boy.
Like you hear, right? Like, you know, everyone says, like, oh, I want to do everything for my kids. But at a certain point, like there's limitations to everything. You know what I mean? You can't do it all. And on top of that, you don't want to do it all. Mm-hmm. People need to have limits. People need to know what it's like to say no. People know how to win and lose. You see what I mean? So I'm cognizant of that.
Some people know how to win or lose.
Right. I'm cognizant of that. I know that there's going to be a point in my life where I have to give in, right? Or I have to, like, you know, get more stern. Or I have to, you know, set more rules. But when they're this little, right? When they're at that 3-month age, and I had this lack of connection, and then you finally start to get expressions, right? They become more expressive. You start to see.
Like, they're reacting to
your words.
Yeah.
Your songs, your routines. Like, they pick up on things. And when that happened, man, I was just like, fuck. Like, this is crazy. It was nuts to me. And it only developed. It only intensified. You know what I mean? So going into, you know, and I was very worried because, I mean, the newborn, man, and it's like, you know, I work in an emergency room, and every day after work, and fucking sanitizing, showering, like making sure like I wouldn't touch her, like if, you know, whatever. I was always scared that I was gonna be the reason she got sick. You know what I mean? And for all I know, I probably was, you know.
Yeah.
But getting back to the main point was, you know, you had we're talking about the new year. And she ended up getting sick literally, I think, the first or second of 2020. I was like, fuck, man. Like, we were on to such a good start. But taking care of a newborn when they're sick, dude, is, oh, man, it's like another level.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you really, I mean, what can you do?
Yeah. You're defenseless.
You can't. You never feel more vulnerable
because
you have no answers.
Also responsible, I guess. Guilty.
No, I mean, you just have no answers.
Mm.
Like,
also no way to communicate with them either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they can't vocalize what's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you're worried constantly. Like, you can't look shit up because then you just end up getting scared. You know what I mean? Like,
but baby, I remember, fever. Like, it is like babies with a head popping out is it.
You know, and it's just, it's one of those where it's like, you know, you take your precautions, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we called your pediatrician,
made
an appointment, saw her, and they said she was fine, whatever. You got to trust it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to trust the doctors and, you know, trust of what's happening. But, man, that was like a rough start to the year. And I was just like, man, I hope she just doesn't get sick ever again. Like, that was my thing. I was like, I hope she doesn't get sick ever again.
You probably would say, I don't want to hear about no diseases anytime
soon. Right, dude. No, for sure. And but thankfully, literally since then, she's not gotten sick again. So we're gonna hope that it doesn't come up in a year and then she decides to get sick.
Oh, jeez.
She's just, I mean, it's just been, it's, if I were to say, like, if there was a positive light in my life for 2020, she was definitely like one of the biggest, for sure.
Oh, like,
it's because it's like, God, bro, like she's grown so much.
This cute moment is sponsored by Pampers.
Yeah. Hey, she wears Pampers.
No, and KFC.
KFC.
Add some honey to your chicken.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. But,
yeah, man, that was that. And that's how, that was where I was. And for 2020, like I said, I was aiming for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I was aiming for her birthday. I was aiming to travel a bit because, you know, I wasn't, again, like I had just had a kid. So when it's hard to like leave a newborn and, you know, you're pretty much on lockdown for that. What made it funny was I was used to this quarantine life. I was used to it.
Because you were quarantined a couple of months before that.
Huh? I was, not only that, but it was like, I was just so used to just, you know, I stayed home. I didn't go anywhere unless I needed to, like, because I had a newborn.
Yeah.
Like, going anywhere with a newborn is just, it's a fucking hassle. So I was just used to just staying home and just, I'd go out when I need to, in and out, I'm done. You know, washing and sanitizing and all. I was used to the quarantine life way before this fucking shit happened.
Before the shit happens.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as that, I mean, and even then, like, I got to her first birthday and she survived, thankfully.
Year one.
It was, you know.
Made it.
I still got to travel a little bit. Like, you know, I went and visited my brother a few times and traveled all over California. I mean, I don't know. I probably broke every rule that said don't travel and you should only like leave the house. And I probably broke.
I think we both have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely travel. I didn't travel. I don't think I did travel out of the state this year. Oh no, I didn't. I had plans to do it. Everything just shambled to it. But then I'm looking back and I'm like, fuck, I should have just done it.
Bro, you should have.
I should have just done it. And that's probably what I'm looking for next year.
Yeah.
To just break every quarantine rule available.
I wouldn't go that far.
So, sorry, guys.
I wouldn't go that far.
So, now if COVID gets spread from some other states.
So, everybody stay away from Germany.
COVID is sponsored by TDSK.
But that was my outlook for 2020. I mean, really, it was very minimal. And, yeah, that was about it. What about you? What was your outlook on 2020? What were you looking forward to? And how
I was literally looking forward to traveling. I already had some plans set up. I have plans set up all the way into June, which is my birthday month, right?
Yeah.
So that tells you how much in advance I was not only saving, planning, you know, I was doing all these different things. And then, you know, on March 17, which also happens to be the anniversary of the podcast.
That's right.
St. Patty's, which is incidentally my favorite holiday, my favorite American holiday.
Yeah.
And then that night is when we started the quarantine and the podcast.
Yeah, that's all together. Funny. You went out that night too.
Yeah, I went out. Fuck that, I did.
You went out that night. I remember.
Shout out to Paul's. Cocktails in Orange. Yeah. That is COVID Ground Zero, let me tell you right now.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm actually happy that I went there because I'm sure I caught it and I survived.
You caught it that night and got the antibodies right away.
Antibodies right away because that's a grimy bar right there.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. So that's what happens. And then, you know, after the quarantine and all that, like, I think we all went into this mode of, you know, we were uncertain how this whole thing was going to play out. People start panicking, right? You know, family, friends, everybody had a different reaction to it, right?
Yeah, still, even.
I think the overall reaction right now, despite your scare or happy or whatever, it still boils down to fuck it.
Yeah, people are sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people have different feelings in terms of, like, fuck, this is still going, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm afraid, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to get the vaccine. Oh, fuck it. Yeah, you know, like,
exactly.
But I think the overall, the underlying feeling is just like, everybody's over it, man. They're just like, listen, I gotta live.
Yeah.
And we can't blame them, you know? But anyway, so that's what happened in March. And then, I mean, you know, I work in a hospital as well. And then I work in a hospital. I don't want to get too much in details, but much of my work from March till today is mostly patients who are COVID.
Yeah.
I don't see the patients, but I work in their cases. And it's so funny. I've been submerged into that.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting trip. Because I seen, you know, from the first medication we started using to the second one, going back to the first one, and how people got affected because of the side effects that those medications had. I don't want to just go into details on that, but
The plasma is the best one. Just
people getting fucked up. Okay? People were coming out of the hospital with all their diseases worse than COVID. Let me tell you right now.
I know.
And then, so I was like really submerged into that, right? And then I was into this bubble And I'll be honest, like, Sam, I think after somewhere in June, that's when I snap. Because I think from March.
After your birthday?
No. Right about my birthday. Because, you know, after the whole fiasco for my birthday, right?
Yeah.
But it was cool to see this bunch of people together, right?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like.
They shut down the next day. That was the craziest thing.
Yeah. And that's what I'm like. That's what. And the plans on my birthday. That's what I snapped.
Yeah.
And shout out to, you know, the person that I was dating at that time.
Yeah.
That she helped me a lot because it was funny because I literally dropped the ball. Like, I was just kind of like, fuck it, I'm done. Like, I'm not saying like I'm gonna kill myself. I'm just saying like neither was depressed, but I was kind of like,
you're over it, bro.
Yeah. I literally said, okay, I'm not doing shit.
Yeah.
You know, I was planning to go to Portland in March. Didn't go. I was supposed to go to Miami in May. Didn't go. I was supposed to go to fucking Cuba in June. I didn't go.
Yeah.
So I was like super disappointed with it. And I was, so I was in that mode. Like, whatever, man. Whatever. Yeah. I'm just grateful that I still have a job.
Sure.
Right. And I was in that survival mode. Like, okay, I'm just going to go to work, pay my bills, fucking stay home, PlayStation, you know, fucking use my Pornhub in the bathroom, whatever I need to, you know.
There you go, bro.
There you go. And, but then, I was dating this girl, and she was the one who told me, let me plan your birthday since you don't want to do anything. Right. It's like, it's not I don't want to do anything. I'm just like, I can't think of anything.
What for? So you're going to get canceled?
Yeah, exactly, right? But anyways, what I was trying to get is like the effort that she made to make things happen, right? That's when I snapped. That's when I realized, wait a minute, like, you know, Charlie, like, open your eyes. Like, you know, yeah, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but life continue as it is, you know, and it's what we make of it what matters.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, that's when my attitude changed towards, I do believe that the pandemic exists. I do believe we have to social distance ourselves to some degree, wear your mask when you had, wash your hands, sanitize, all that bullshit, right? But I was kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to let this stop me to hang out with my friends, hanging out with my family. Yeah. I'm just going to be more cautious about it, right? But that was the moment. That was the moment somewhere at the end of May or June. That's when I was like, oh, shit. Like, no, dude, like, there's reasons to celebrate.
Yeah.
There's reasons to see your friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to sound kind of like morbid, but I'm like, what if this is the last time I see my friends?
Right.
Well, I'd rather see my friends hanging out, drinking a beer.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's where I was.
Yeah, man, your birthday was like interesting too, because I remember I very much remember that was like one of the nights that like we all got together, and I mean, we did everything we weren't supposed to do. You know, I mean, we were in a group. They were sharing drinks.
There were almost 30 of us.
Right.
Yeah.
We were sharing drinks. We were sharing a little, maybe some substances. You know what I mean?
it was a wild night.
A little puff puff.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
And then you ruin it.
We were hugging and
then
shit.
Then you ruin it by giving me the four horsemen.
The four? Hey,
man, yeah, that's on. What you fucked me over.
Oh, okay.
And that's what lights were out.
Oh, okay.
Because that's all my I remember. Fault. It is your fault. It is your fault.
Okay.
Just to put it in perspective, guys. We were having a great time. We had dinner.
It was fine.
It was weird dinner, but we had dinner. So just keep in mind, we had like about 30 people.
Yeah.
That show up. Thankfully, that's cool. But then we went to this restaurant that they couldn't allow us, all of us in. So we keep going from restaurant to restaurant until we find an Irish pub who allowed us to go in, but we all had a sip. I think it was a group of five or six per table.
Yeah.
So we all spread out, which is hilarious.
Some inside, some outside.
Yeah. It was just all over the place. But then after that, we went to this Irish bar in Long Beach, and they were like, fuck it.
No one gave a fuck.
Just bring whoever.
Yeah.
And then that's when things got out of control.
Yeah.
And then all I remember is you gave me a shot that I didn't know at the time. It was a Ford Horseman.
Yeah.
All I knew was that this shit tastes funny, and then lights out. That's all I remember.
Yeah, man, but it's just a shot. You can't blame me for everything that you drank before that.
No. I'm going to blame you on that, and then I give you
this one drink, and all of a sudden it's my fault.
That's the one put me over.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I was tippy-toeing right there.
For all I know, the one before took you over.
We wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Hey, it could have been Marcus' shot.
That's true.
Yeah, but no, it was yours at the end.
Yeah, but it made me laugh because I was just like, I woke up the next day, and I was just like, man, I was like, I was fucking hungover as shit.
Yeah, we all were.
And I was like, man, like, I need to go get me some pizza or something.
some greasy shit.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And I went to, and that, funny enough, that was the time that I went to this pizza place in Long Beach. Shout out to Little Coyote. They okay. got the best pizza fucking ever. And I went because I had just seen, they were new, bro. They okay. were like 3 weeks old. Like new.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, like, I just had their pizza and I was like, fuck, this is fucking good. I was like, holy shit.
Were you still drunk?
No, dude. It was just really, really, I'd never had pizza like that.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've never, like, I've had really good pizza.
Yeah, you're a foodie, bro. So, yeah, you have good food.
But they had, their style was just something that, you know, I've had that style of pizza before, but I've never had it that good. Mm. Right? Because there is a bunch of different styles of pizzas. But their style, I mean, probably some of the best I've ever had.
What kind of style was it?
Like New York style. Mm, okay. And to the point that, I mean, I go there now once every other week.
Okay.
Like, I drive out to Long Beach.
You made it. I mean? You made it a thing now.
Yeah, I just made it because I've liked it that much. You know what I mean? So, anyway, they put out good stuff. But I remember that morning. So that was what, Sunday.
Okay. Sure.
And then, I grabbed some pizza. I went home. And then, like, I'm reading on the news, and it was like, as of midnight or as of 11:59, they're going to implement a stay at home order, effective 11:59 Sunday night,
July 1st. Yeah.
And I was like, man, we went out at the right time. Like, we went out with a bang, man. Like, we
kind of did.
We went out with a bang.
And if you think about it, that's probably the wild. That is the wildest party we had, at least for me. In terms of, like, drinking and just bunch of people, just like, there was a lot of people, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
For yeah.
Yeah.
For
you, I mean, yeah. Everything else was just like, for me, was been mellow, just hanging out with small groups. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing,
yeah.
Nothing like I haven't hung out with a group like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where you're all like out and just like doing a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was a good time, man. But it was just funny. I was just like, leading up to your birthday, I was fearful because the other counties, so earlier in that month, so we're talking maybe 2 weeks before your birthday, because yours was, it was late June.
Yeah.
So
it was the last day.
Like mid-June, again, I'm just throwing this out. I know I've broken all of these traveling restrictions and rules and you shouldn't, da da da. Yeah. Earlier that month in June, I had gone to Monterey, and I hadn't been to Monterey in years. You know what I mean? We went because my wife had never been. We were supposed to go. We were planning for it in April for like her birthday. But then everything shut down, and then, you know, because we wanted to go to the fucking aquarium and like all this other shit, whatever. Anyway, so we ended up just kind of replanning it. It was really random. Like, my mom happened to have like these good chunks of days off, and you know, she wanted to watch the baby, this and this. And I was like, I mean, let's look at the rates. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Let's look at the hotel. You know what I mean? And I mean, the hotels were like super cheap in downtown. I was like, fuck it. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, what led to that decision was prior to that, it was in April or May. Things were still shut down, but we had already gone out. We had already gone away. Mm-hmm. This was at that point, we went to like San Luis Obispo. So we were used to this. Like, we knew what kind of trip we were in for. Mm-hmm. We were in for the trip where, you know, if things are to go only, then that's fine. We'll just bring it back to the hotel. It was mostly just to get away.
Got it.
You know? So we planned for Monterey, and, you know, they had like patio service, like, you know, outdoor seating service, outdoor dining. But, you know, everything kind of just was curfew, like everything was cut off a little early leading up to that weekend. there started to be like more restrictions building up. And I was like, fuck, dude. I really hope I don't have to cancel this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so fuck it. We said, fuck it. Let's just go. We ended up going. We were there for, I think, two nights. And, you know, we enjoyed ourselves. There was like the day before we were going to leave, we had gone to Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz and Monterey are about 30 to 40 minutes apart.
Yeah.
But they're in different counties. So Santa Cruz County, the day we went to Santa Cruz, had shut down. No outdoor services of any kind.
Okay.
So we went out there, and all I could do was really, like, get...
to go?
Get to go. Mm. Except for this one place who did not give a fuck, which, all power to him. Like, place was called Beer 30. It was Beer 30 in Santa Cruz, and great spot. Great spot. They have lots of craft beer. Nice big outdoor space. They have a little on-site food vendor. And, you know, had a good time. We go back to Monterey. Now the curfew has extended or has gotten back like an hour from the day we arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So now the restrictions are getting harsher while we're in Monterey.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, man, this sucks. Like, we really can't do much. Like, everything was done by 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, whatever, man. Like, we got away. It was fun, you know. Had a good time. Came back. And then I'm like, it'll be interesting what happens with Charlie's birthday. That's in a few weeks. And I was like, if they're shutting down out here already, like.
Yeah.
I was like, you're talking in 2 weeks? Who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, I hope they don't cancel it, you know? And sure enough, I mean, we timed it just right. Your fucking birthday happened, and literally the next day, they closed everything, they shut down.
We had the reservation at Ballast Point.
Right.
And they literally shut down that day. So they were already, like, pre-doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then from there, that's when we went to this whole debacle of trying to find a restaurant who can hold 30 people.
But that's just literally, but that's, you know, it's so unfortunate because that's the story of like how much you didn't, I mean, you really don't realize like how much 2020 like was affected.
Yeah.
How much of the little small things were affected
even by to this thing. Even right now, like, so one of the things that I notice now is like, for instance, right? I think right now everything is closing down again, but let's say, between what?
Not here.
I know. Thanks for Orange County. But no one
gives a shit in Orange
County. But like some restaurants, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the luxury that we used to have before. Like, you know, you go to a restaurant and be like, table for what? It's going to be like 6-8 of us, but right now it's only 4.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then they can come in whenever. Now it's like, no, either the whole party's there together and you can have more than 6.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think all that changes now. Like, are the way we...
What do you plan?
And I think for Californians, I think this is why Californians are struggling, because we have a more relaxed attitude about time, about dates, about reservations and stuff like that, you know? It's different in other states.
You think we're more relaxed?
Yeah, in terms of like, no, the way people approach this. Like, for instance, back before COVID, you tell your friends, hey, bro, like, we're going to go to dinner at 8. Oh, okay, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
And they don't show up at 8.
Right.
They show up later.
You tell them 8, meaning you need me, knowing that they're gonna be there like at 9 or some shit.
Yeah. So you go in with whatever table whatever party you have, they still give you the table for whatever. And so they show up and everybody shows up. We're cool. Right. We drink, we eat, and we go to the next venue, right?
Right.
And then you can go in and out anywhere. Now it's like you can't do that shit. Now you have to show up with a whole party, no more than 6. Mm-hmm. You can only sit there for 2 hours, 3 hours max.
You have a time limit.
You have a time limit now. Yeah. So now it's like, you got to double fist these bitches, you know, like you got to get, you know, my friends make fun of me because when I go out with some friends, like, they ask me, what do you order? I'm like, I'll take 2 vodka tonics, please.
Yeah.
You know, put it on the table because I'm on a time limit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it changes.
Because they're reducing staff too. So then it's like, no, everything just takes longer on top of it.
Yes.
You know,
shout out to Porterville with
the one
bartender, manager and bartender. We'll get to that story in a little bit. Yeah. That was interesting how we had to change our approach to outings.
Yeah.
even though we were trying to make outings, right? I was having this conversation not too long ago. Someone, I'm not friend with this person, but, you know, like, she sees me online and stuff like that. And I run into her in the gym. And she goes, I always see you out and about. And I was like, well, because, you know, thankfully for me, A, I live in Orange County. Shout out to MAGA County. Yeah. Trump is king here.
That's right, baby. 2024, baby. Coming back.
But two is, before COVID, all my outings were about breweries.
Yeah.
And breweries, most breweries, they have a patio, a yard. So they haven't really been affected as much. So most breweries have been open.
Well, yeah. Well, some have had to, like, yeah, acclimate, I guess. But
yeah. So that really hasn't changed. So, like, you know, and that's the thing for me is, like, I'm not into like clubbing or restaurant eating shit, right? So that didn't affect me.
But even the brewer experience has gotten different too, though. Like,
not if you go to Native Sun.
Not like at first. Well, that's not. Well, that's a tap house. It's different.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, that's my favorite spot. And, yeah, yeah, and that really hasn't changed.
Yeah,
and some breweries really hasn't changed.
I think some. Here's what we were talking about this before we hit the record button. Like, it's interesting how, like, some businesses have really, they've really had to modernize. It's forced them to modernize in a lot of ways.
Which they should have. Yeah.
And then it really forced a lot of these already modernized establishments to then become more creative. You know what I mean? Mm. And breweries are, that's where you and I definitely frequent, and some of these breweries, like, they got super creative, you know what I mean, in their approach. Yes. And it was really, a lot of it was for the better, you know, but it all came with trade-offs. And I think the biggest trade-off for me that really sucked was, especially at first, it was this, like, consciousness of, like, hygiene. So then a lot of these places were doing, like, plastic cups. Mm. And so because you were doing plastic cups, they wouldn't serve you, like, flights. So you couldn't do, like, samples of, like, a few different things.
At the beginning.
It was just, like, right. Yeah. Like, now it's definitely a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I remember that really sucking. And I was like, that really fucked up my experience. You know what I mean? But I did like the fact of, like, reservations. I liked the idea of a table limit.
I don't like that.
For me, frankly, here's how I see it.
Yeah.
I think realistically, there's only so much that you should drink in 2 hours. Okay.
Makes sense. And
frankly, mm-hmm, like, if you're going to just drink more, you still can. Where I became super bitter with some places, super bitter, where, and this was the biggest thing that pissed me off. And this has nothing to do with this. I get it. Listen, I'm not going to attack these, you know, establishments personally.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Bro, they need to eat.
I understand that. That it's like county guidelines or state guidelines. But the places that, like, said, like, you need to purchase something, like, you had to have food.
Yeah.
Right? Because the license that they had was like a restaurant, beer, wine license. Mm-hmm. So that's the only way they could really be open, because they had that.
They had to serve food.
Because the county wasn't counting breweries that contracted with, like, food trucks. Mm-hmm. They didn't count that.
They found a loophole.
So they had to bring in their own vendor. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, everybody kind of had their own system.
Yeah.
But, bro, there was some, and it's really disappointing, there were some establishments that handled it beautifully. They said, pick anything on the menu. Doesn't matter.
Mm. Yeah, food is food.
Bag of chips, a hot dog. Doesn't matter.
I've been to those.
Cool. Because guess what, man? Like, if I'm going to drink here and have a 2-hour time limit, yeah, I mean, I should probably eat something.
And not a full meal.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I want to go somewhere else, like, I don't want to order, like, a full meal again. Mm-hmm. But, bro, the balls on some of these breweries, man, they really, like, they would agitate me. They'd be like, no, you have to order, like, a full entree. Like, I got to order a $15 entree to drink here. Like, what if I want to drink somewhere else? I'm going to have to order food there too.
Yeah, well, you have to.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you almost had to stay there the 2 hours, and you're just like, fuck, man.
Yeah, no, it's a, I mean, some of it, they're annoying, yeah.
Yeah, some did it right. I think some did it very poorly, and, but I do commend all the businesses that got, like, that modernized and got savvy, and, you know, their hands were forced, but. Like we were talking about it, like digital menus.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean,
duh.
There were some. See, then there's people that like did it like they did it pretty good. And then some that did it amazing. And the ones that did it pretty good are like the ones where it's digital menu. And then, but then the person still came up and for payment and all that stuff. But then there was the ones that,
you could order everything through the phone.
And pay it.
And pay that. Yeah, yeah.
Those were the best.
Yeah.
I was like, this should be everywhere. Like, what the fuck?
Well, yes and no, because then I eliminate waiters and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you don't care. But I'm just saying, listen, I mean, yeah, you're right. Should we have him?
The waiters that, like, the same waiters that, like, are going to give a shit for not tipping or whatever, or not tipping enough?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess. But I'm just saying, I feel so bad for them because I'm like, well, some jobs that I hate to get them eliminated, but some jobs are going to get eliminated.
They're going to, unfortunately.
They're going to, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. Man, it's, and this, well, look at, you know, most businesses now that have gone fully remote.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people that owns like a lot of retail property, commercial property, mm-hmm. a lot of those businesses are not coming back. They're not coming. All those offices, all those office spaces.
Yeah.
If people can do the job fully remote, what the fuck do you need an office space for?
Yeah, productivity is roughly the same.
A lot of these restaurants, too. A lot of these restaurants that have these massive buildings, like, if they're making the same amount of money doing pickup and to-go, or even close to it, why wouldn't you do it?
I think, to be honest with you, I think some restaurants are going to do better now. Because now they tap into that pickup or delivery. Mm-hmm. So once you have fully open, they're going to have those two side of businesses.
Yeah. And it only benefits them really though. The ones that'll benefit the most are the ones that don't serve alcohol.
Yeah.
Because the ones that serve alcohol, those really benefit by sitting down, by people going in really like.
But I mean, if you can do that new venue, which they were not doing before, you know, I think they're going to do better in my opinion. They're going to do just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's forced a lot of these businesses to get.
I'm a DoorDash hoe.
Are you?
I love my DoorDash, man. Sometimes I look at my. It's so funny. Sometimes I look at them, but this place is like 10 minutes away.
You're a fucking lazy
motherfucker. Fuck it. I'm helping the economy. You're welcome. I'm your hero, bitches. Now, give me my hot dog. Yeah. Give me my bagel. That's what I've been buying a lot.
Do you have the DoorDash? Was it the DoorDash Plus?
I haven't got to that point yet.
How much are you paying in delivery
fees? I don't use it often, but I do use it. Listen, the only two times that I eat at home is on the weekends. That's the only time I eat at home.
Yeah.
So we're talking about maybe a Saturday, maybe a Sunday.
It's a little, bro.
I know. I'm always.
You eat out every night?
Well, you know my thing. I'm always at work.
Okay.
And when I come home, I don't do dinners. It's my new diet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's
so true. I've been doing that fasting thing. So that's actually been keeping me up. So I don't spend on food besides those 2 days.
Yeah.
Anyways, but. What I wanted to tell you now is, you know, with this whole quarantine, and it's funny, you know, because I was still going through online dating and shit, right? And it's funny because, like, you know, you see this new thing, like, oh, quarantine made me do it.
Yeah.
Or like, well, you know, I'm home all day, so might as well. And I was thinking about it today that I was like, man, there's a lot of people who are bored as fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
there's a reason TikTok blew up, bro.
Yes.
There's a reason.
And
everyone's at home, not doing shit.
But then I started thinking about these people who are in online dating because of boredom, right?
Yeah.
Bro, like, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to go out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I particularly don't like that.
Let me see. How can I phrase this? Do you feel the market is now like, just like inflated?
It's inflated. And it's not even a good quality. It isn't.
Good quality.
No. Listen, don't get me wrong. And I'm not talking about pretty product.
Okay.
It's wrapped beautifully. Okay. Yeah, you see the product out there. Yeah. But it's
a filter guy.
It's, yeah. It's a.
They're not serious, is what you're saying.
They're not built properly.
Yeah.
you know, they want you to buy the product, but they don't want to open the box. And I'm like, bitch, no. Yeah. And so I've been noticing that.
It's like going to Costco. Like, how do you want me to commit to this in bulk? Give me a sample. You know what I mean? I want to be able to sample it, know that I like it. And so, if I don't, I should have free return, right?
Let me show you this story right now. There was this one person that I was talking to.
Okay.
And she goes, I just signed in because I'm bored. And I'm like, that's okay. Cool. And the first thing when you say that to me is like, what am I supposed to be, your fucking entertainment? The fuck out of here, right? And then she goes, you know, but I'm down to chat. And okay. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm your pen pal?
Yeah.
Right?
It's cute, bro.
Bitch was hot, so I play along. Oh. Right? That's the only way I will keep up with this bullshit, right? Right? So we play along. Then we start, we move from the app to Instagram.
Okay.
So we were DMing, right? And then I got bored, bro. Like, I really got bored. And
with her.
Yeah, because listen, she is cute, but she's not giving me anything back.
Yeah.
Because and this is through that experience, what I realized is like, well, this is why if people didn't like online dating before COVID, they're definitely gonna like it now, because there's a lot of people there for the wrong reasons. And we talk about this in the podcast. Intentions matter. Why are you in this online dating, right? So I realized with this girl was, listen, first of all, she has all the right to do whatever the fuck she wants to do, right? I'm not saying no. But I'm just saying these people shouldn't be in online dating. Meaning, because you're wasting everyone's time. You had no intentions to meet, no intentions to connect, no intentions to open up. So when I was like chatting with her, I was not getting anything, right? Mm. And then I started questioning myself, oh, maybe she's not feeling me, right? And it wasn't that. She's just not feeling anybody. She just literally said, well, I'm not planning to see you because of the COVID. I don't want to risk it. And then I was like, well, bitch, I don't want to waste my time because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I don't want to risk losing someone else who actually could connect.
Right.
And so I started thinking about that. And I'm like, man, there's got to be a lot of girls, a lot of guys in it, right? And I start thinking about, man, like, this online dating probably got worse.
Oh,
I mean, you have more people in it, but they're not actually willing, or they don't want to connect, right?
I can imagine it getting worse.
And I'm getting, and there was another one that she told me, is like, I love this one. I love this. I would love to see you.
But
like, it's because right now I don't feel like I should. And then this is my favorite part. And I'm like, bitch, don't you have like, fuck. I seen your Instagram or whatever, like, you have pool parties almost every other weekend.
Yeah.
So you just rather get COVID for people that you know.
That's right. Exactly.
That's what I took. I was like, oh, you want to get a familiar COVID.
Sure.
You know, that's what I thought of it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I you know, I obviously not a problem I had to have was online dating during this thing, but
how's your relationship got better or worse or the same?
I mean, again, man, we were living this kind of life before. Mm, like, you know, it's, you know, I think
what I'm trying to say is, are you hitting that chon chon more or less?
I mean, it's, again, we've talked about this before, which is, I think for us, it's always been, you know, make a point to get it. Like, I talk about all these getaways, right? Yeah. Why we've traveled. I mean, there's reasons, you know what I mean? It's like, you just need that time away as a couple.
Don't lie. You just want to get rid of that, huh?
Yeah. Okay, bro.
Do it there.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I talk about this.
No, but it is.
You have better sex outside of your house.
Well, you know, you have better sex without a kid next to you or in the next room. You know what I mean? Though. Like, it's just, this is facts. Yeah. So, it's one of those things that it's, I wouldn't say that it's much has changed because of if anything, I would probably say it hindered what could have been. Like,
what do you mean?
Because we wanted to travel that much more, you know what I mean? So I feel like, but definitely, man, I feel like we did even then still, we still traveled a lot.
I think you have.
Still going to. Like, yeah. I'm going to take a trip in the next week or so. Like, so I think it's one of those that it's like, it was definitely wasn't worse, you know? I probably would say that in a lot of ways it was good, better. But I mean, How can you get, I mean, I don't know. Is this, we spend a lot of time, as it is, we just spend a lot of time together.
Well, the reason I ask you is because, you know, I'm not saying that your relationship is that. I'm just saying in general, right? Sure. Just trying to get your take as a married man and who's in a happy relationship. But a lot of people, I think they're going like, there's a lot more breakups now this year.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you're talking, you know.
And suicides too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just... That's a lot of just being.
That's when TikTok doesn't even do it for you, bro.
that's what I mean. You're really talking about, like, and as far as like a relationship goes, I think where also her and I did make a concerted effort was we were very much knowing. It's one of those things that her and I very much know, which is we know that when it's time for one of us to like have. Some me time, like we just let it happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you want to go shop or go to run some errands and whatever, bring back home lunch, have the whole morning to yourself, go for it. You know, if I want to go, if I need a boys' day or I need like a boys' night where I can just gather and have some beers with some people, get the fuck out of my house. Like, you know, she says, okay. Like, yeah. It's just, it's one of those, it's like, if you're in, if you're in a relationship where that amount of you're not giving yourself that outlet based on for whatever reason, then yeah, I mean, I could see why you would get sick of each other or more frustrated with each other.
I think it has. I mean, I don't know.
It all comes down. Honestly, man, I would probably say it all comes down to like the perception of how people view this pandemic and how seriously they take it. And I think with her, what she's had to adjust ever since she dated me was, you're going to get sick. Like, you know, like I'm coming home, you know, and where I work is not the most, you know, hygienic place, people are coughing and, you know, thankfully, like I've thankfully not gotten sick. But you know, I think she's had that reality, and it's just she's had to conform to that.
Was she getting sick a lot?
So when she first started working, was when she started getting more sick. She's around a bunch of kids.
Of course.
Kids are dirty. I mean, call it what it is. You know what I mean? Like, kids are just dirty.
They just don't know it any better.
Yeah, they're not conscious of, you know, where they sneeze and coughing, and they're just not. You know what I mean? They're not conscious of hygiene as much as they should be. So I guess I shouldn't say kids are dirty. Kids are just not as hygienic as you want them to be.
They're fucking dirty. Say it.
All right, they're dirty. Anyway, they're dirty. So at the end of the day, it's like,
fuck you, little
kid. She ended up getting like sick at first quite a bit, quite often, actually. Yeah. It was always at the beginning of the year.
Well, yeah, flu season, baby. Mean?
And then it's like, then the next year happened. Same thing, you know? But I think being with me really just adjusted her to the idea of like, well, yeah, I mean, shit, like there's only so much you can do, you know? And that's the kind of person I am, which is like, when it comes to this thing, I think there's levels to how seriously people view it. And my rationale has always been, you know, this is let's just, so we're clear. I think this is a virus that is going to be with us for the rest of our lives.
I think so.
Yeah. Like.
So this is the longest commitment I'm going to have.
It's going to take. Even if you vaccinated everybody. In the world. Right. The effectiveness is still only 90 the claim is 93%. Okay. This thing is still going to live on. It's just, at the end of the day, it's not as many people are going to have it.
A condom is safer.
Just think of it. Condom plus pull-out method. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's still safer than the backseat.
Yeah. It's just one of those, it's like, you have to almost accept the idea that at the end of the day, the reason it has taken its toll to the extent that it has is because it was unexpected and we were not prepared. Not as a nation, but literally as a world.
Yeah. Right?
China failed us completely, and I fucking hope they at some point pay for that in some regard, whether it's by
pockets, buddy.
By economics, by whatever the fuck it is.
That's the only way you can.
I really hope that the fact that they held out on information and accurate information,
yeah,
for months, that was crucial, and we just weren't prepared.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, it's a virus, guys. The flu, influenza, is also a virus. The flu's been around for.
We still deal with it.
A crazy amount of life, yeah, of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Way before me, way before you,
yeah,
before my parents. We're talking over 100 years. Over 100 years the flu has been around.
Yeah.
And guess what? They have vaccines every year,
mm-hmm,
that now, I think it's up in like the 50s, 50 percentile works, mm-hmm, you know, effectiveness. But the reason that, you know, people don't give a fuck about the flu anymore is because, yeah,
we accepted it. Yeah.
Not only do we accept it, we accept the amount of deaths that it's associated with it.
That's true.
So this is new.
So you're trying to say is that this, we're going to treat COVID in the next year or two, just the way same way we treat the flu.
We are going to treat COVID the way we treated H1N1, which is, you know, it's going to be high alert. Mm-hmm. There's going to be definitely more emphasis, more news coverage on it.
And yeah,
it's like, make sure you get the vaccine. Make sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But
H1N1 ended up being mixed with the flu shot the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who knows if this coronavirus vaccine is going to be mixed with the flu shot next year.
They're just making the cocktail bigger, baby.
Sure. So what I'm saying is, it's like, when you're looking at my perspective, that's my household.
Yeah.
That's my household. My household is like, listen, yes, this thing is scary, and yes, this thing sucks, but at the end of the day, like, what I live by is there's only so much I can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's only so much I can do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't control every aspect of my life outside of my home, right? So, you know, there's people, I have a wide spectrum of friends, right? And a wide spectrum of coworkers. And it's interesting to see, like, how everyone reacts a little bit differently.
Yeah, of course.
You have the ones that are, like, super, like, don't give a fuck. And then you have the ones that are, like, super cautious.
Extremely cautious, yeah.
So, you know, what I've said from the beginning is, you know, I think however you're going to handle it, okay, like, that's how you're going to handle it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a right and wrong way.
No.
But I think where people just don't, where I feel there's ignorance is in the lack of you diving into the information. And when you solely are getting your information from, you know, either one network, one source, or you're going based off of what a commentator tells you versus data, mm-hmm, versus, you know, you actually reading something.
It's very different. We got to understand that there are facts and there's feelings.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's facts and then there's interpretations, right? And I think for me, I look at just what the facts are. And I look at what it is. I'm no expert. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, that it's not real. In the sense, it's definitely real. It's definitely affecting, you know, my day-to-day. Mm-hmm. I see cases day-to-day.
Yeah.
I mean, they've grown. You see the spikes. You see the trends. You see it all.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's a virus, man. And it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And it's going to take its toll. Ultimately, it's going to take its toll. Unfortunately, we're suffering the most of it now. It'll get better down the line. But that's just what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People forget about, you know, these other major pandemics that have happened that killed way more people. This is a product of modern medicine, the fact that we've only, you know, not only, it's something sensitive, but the fact that we've had in the low millions, right? Single digits in millions deaths worldwide. you know, versus the Spanish flu that killed, what, 60?
Yeah, but you
versus,
can't.
Versus the one, the major one before that, which was the fucking blanking.
The plague?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, like hundreds of millions.
Yeah, but different times too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when you look at it by percentile, when you look at it, when you look at it by percentage,
yeah,
by percentage in population,
yeah,
it's we're well under what that was. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I just feel like it should have been managed differently.
Of course.
Yeah, that's my only take.
Of course.
If we would have done fully quarantine in the beginning, testing everybody,
yeah,
and then from there quarantine the people who were positive, then I would be like, you know what? We did our part, and at this point, we can't do anything, right?
Again, there's only so much we can do.
But if we, but that's the thing. If we would have done that,
yeah,
and we didn't, right, we didn't do shit. Yeah. We half-wash quarantine lockdown. And then this is why people right now are on the fucking fence.
Yeah.
Because is, listen, we can't go backwards. Right? And this is why people are just, screw it. You know, and this is my problem with it. Is like, people are upset. Like, for example, we work in healthcare, right?
Yeah.
We've seen the spike of cases. And we see different emotions of employees saying like, damn, like, you know, these fucking people don't get it, blah 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 blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
and it's kind of like, well, they're responsible because they got sick, right? And at some degree, yes, they are, but also we didn't do anything to prevent it.
Yeah, I think,
and it's because, and this is the thing, it's a culture problem.
Yeah,
I told you this many times before, American culture is not really good at preventing shit.
No.
We're good at fixing the problem. And the
we're not even good at that.
Well, in this one, no. Well, in this one, if you think about it, not many countries are really good at fixing it. But we don't believe in preventive medicine. We don't encourage people to go see their doctors, get their vitamins, get normal checkups. None of that shit.
Yeah, where's all that been talked? Where's all that talk? Right?
Yeah.
Where's that big push?
Nobody's talking even right now. Like,
what should you take? Talk to us.
Yeah. Vitamin D, C, D, whatever, you know? I've been giving some vitamin D, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know?
Different kind. Okay. The liquid form.
But I'm just saying.
Not milk.
I cannot do it all, Dr. Fauci. We need help.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I can only do a few. Yeah.
No, man. I mean, you know, yeah. You know,
but what I'm trying to say is we didn't do the proper management, which it should have been fully quarantined, lockdown, and testing.
Sure.
So now we're going almost 9 months, you said, right? You said 9 months. We're out to about be at a year. We're back to step one, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are being like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. They're resistant.
Fuck you. Fuck this. Fuck COVID.
But it's because it was poorly managed.
Yeah.
And, but like,
and you can't expect people now to be like, oh, no, no, no. Please go back home. And I'm like, no, you had 9 months.
But again, bro,
to do something.
The frustrating part is when you just look at data, you know. And I mean, understand, guys, the lockdown has, it has a lot to do with spread. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, let's also factor in that this whole pandemic also got very politicized. And that in itself really messed with people taking it seriously, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about had we done cycles of quarantining and full lockdown and this. But, you know, I look at it simply as, Charlie, we were set up to fail. You know, we live in a...
Not only we were set up to fail, we did fail.
Of course. No, yeah. I'm saying we were set up in the sense of... You're talking... Okay, so a quick backstory, and it goes to my point. Going back to when we were talking about the beginning of the year and, you know, 2019, December, right? I was having this conversation... I had this conversation a few times with a few groups of people, right?
Okay.
And it was a very, I'll just full disclosure, it was a very morbid conversation, okay? And you'll understand why.
Yeah.
So what I said was how sick I was of the amount of traffic in Southern California.
This guy.
I said, bro, this is like, it's nauseating. Trying to go anywhere, literally going anywhere, takes you 15 to 20 minutes to just go get food or like go to the store. Just to get there takes you 15 to 20 minutes. And just to get what? To work? If you commute even 5 miles, how long does it take you to commute to work 5 miles with traffic? Right? It just gets stupid long. Dumb as shit. I was holiday shopping last year. All these people are out. There's a bunch of fucking shit going on. I was having this talk about there's too many fucking people in this world. You know that?
Yeah.
Like, then I was like, okay, there's just too many people in Southern California. I go, things are stacked on top of people are stacked on top of everybody like fucking sardines.
And it's not worth living here.
And it's only getting worse.
Yeah.
Right? By where I live, they demolished, single level business parks.
Yeah.
And now made them high rise condos and apartments.
Fuck.
So it's only getting worse.
Yeah.
Angel Stadium sold, it's been like debated, but they're selling the stadium to a realtor group that wants to buy it. And they're going to make that entire area more condos and apartments.
The fuck.
So it's only getting worse. LA still constructing.
Yeah. Where's this people coming from?
What I'm saying is,
stay home, people from Iowa.
I was having these conversations and I was like, you know, okay, let's just pretend. I said, and I'll ask you this question because I didn't have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
But the basis of the question was, we're too populated. Okay.
Okay.
So I said, what amount of people would you be comfortable with parting ways with? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but you get to choose how directly related they are to you. Right? And this is where it gets morbid. Because frankly, let's be honest. People, mm-hmm. for the majority, were selfish beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see this all the time in the ER. You've seen it too. The families care about their family member being sick, not about everybody else.
Yeah.
They want their child, their father, their mother, their wife, their husband. They want their person being cared for like fucking royalty. And the other person can go fuck themselves because you don't give a shit about them. It's your person that's hurting.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question I proposed was, mm-hmm. okay, if you had, here's what I said originally.
Go for it.
If there was 500 people, how many people of those would you feel comfortable
letting go?
Like, you'd be like, okay, we're reducing population. Like, how many people, like, you're cool with, like, all right, man, we need to cut, like, you know.
Man, okay, Thanos.
Right, and I'll make it even simpler. Mm-hmm. 100, out of 100 people, like, how many people are you okay letting go?
Mm.
Not directly related to you.
Not directly related to me.
So in any way, shape, or form, you don't know these people.
Yeah.
They're not your family. They're not friends.
Yeah, I get it.
They're not friends, like, of your family.
I don't know them whatsoever. There's no connection to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very unfair question, though. Because if you ask them, they will probably feel...
I'm asking you.
Yeah. Man, I want to say for 100 people...
So not... Yeah. And let's pretend they all drive. And that's for every 100 cars on the freeway.
Okay.
You can get rid of that many more.
I'll go 20.
20?
Yeah.
Okay. 20.
Yeah.
20% death rate.
Yeah. Okay. That's fucked up, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? 20% death rate.
Yeah. Okay. Out of 100 people.
Out of 100. That's 20%.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 20%.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Now, so let's break that down. What does 20% look like?
I know you're going to bring these numbers, and I'm like.
Okay. So 20% is one out of every five.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go down to 25. Let's go down to 20. 20 people. Mm-hmm. Out of 20 people, okay, you're talking 20%. Mm-hmm. That's 5 people. Mm-hmm. Okay. So out of 20 people, 5 people have to pass away. So does your number change if one of them is someone that you know?
I'll be honest, probably not.
If two of them is someone you know, including family, maybe not directly, like, you know, second cousin or some shit.
That's my limit, too.
Two. Two. Yeah, two. Two out of five.
Two out of five.
Right.
Yeah.
So where does that put you?
What do you mean?
So where does that put you?
That puts me that I'm okay letting two people that I know die.
Two out of five, right? So two. Mm-hmm. So you're okay with letting go, you said 20% before, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So now that was what, 20 people? Mm-hmm. So now we're talking eight. Now, 8 out of every 100 you're okay with letting go.
Okay.
Even if they're directly related to you.
See that? That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
That's 8%. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get deeper.
Sorry, Mom.
out of those two of the five that you're willing to let go that are somewhat related to you, friends or family,
yeah.
What if one of them is like a real close person?
Okay.
How many of those are you willing to let go?
If both of them close?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. That's a tough one.
You can say zero.
Yeah, zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're okay with 8%. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? I was okay with 5, by the way. My answer was 5%.
Yeah, I'm
You're saying
I'm more radical than you are.
You're saying 8%.
Yeah.
The death rate for coronavirus is under 2%.
Yeah.
Right. And I think well under 2%. It's like 1.25 or something.
Yeah, it is.
So what I'm saying is, like, I remember having these conversations and I was just like,
it's not the death rate is the problem for me. It's just the way we're doing it. Because to me, this is my problem.
Right.
Is what's the word for it when it's like, if we're not doing anything about it,
right,
then I don't want to hear about it. That's my thing. That's my attitude in life.
Yeah.
My attitude in life is, if you're not doing something about whatever problem you have, I don't want to hear you bitching about it.
Right.
So that's how I feel with this pandemic.
Right.
That's how I have my problem with Gavin Newsom, which, you know, he's my boy, or was my boy.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
Right.
My thing is, like, we talked about this before. We're pulling our dicks,
yeah,
putting on the table to see who has the bigger dick, and nobody's fucking doing anything about it. You know, to me, it's like, what are you pulling the dick for? Okay, yeah. You're masturbating, someone's sucking it,
yeah.
We're inserting in some glory hole.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's my point. It's like, we're not doing anything. So that's what it pisses me off. That's what frustrates me, because it's like, we talk about this whole thing, social distancing, we're shutting down, we're quarantining, blah, 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 blah. Now the fucking vaccine comes in and everybody has this idea that, oh, game over, COVID.
It's all over.
We're back to reality, baby. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the part that I find frustrating. It's like, listen, yes, I don't want us to open 100% like we were. But let's stop pretending that what you're doing right now is actually doing something.
It's not.
Which is actually, you're hurting people.
Right.
Financially.
Right.
Right. So that's my problem. It is like, you're trying to compensate for what now? You should just keep it as it was, 50%, 60% capacity in places, right? Yeah. I agree. No clubbing, no concerts. You know, even sports, like, venues, you know, you can still do some of it. Like Europe right
space
now.
Space them out.
Yeah. Europe is doing about 2,000, 3,000 people per soccer stadium.
So is Florida and Texas.
Yeah. You know, and little by little, we're growing up with it. And I'm okay with that process, you know? But this whole thing from like, oh, no, we're going back to square one.
Yeah.
That just tells me one thing.
Square one didn't work last time.
Not only you didn't do it well before.
Yeah.
Then it didn't work out. What makes you think this fucking time is going to work out?
Yeah.
And then you think we're that stupid? And that's the problem with this whole thing.
Right. But, okay, yes.
So my thing is, stop pulling your dick out when you're not fucking doing anything.
Yes, I agree. Getting back to just my point on the population aspect of it. When I said we were set up to fail, you know, we went down this question of what are you okay with, like, death-wise, right?
Yeah. They got it safe. 50%.
What I'm saying is it's like we're set up to fail in the sense of, you guys don't understand, like, the reason why L.A., specifically L.A. County,
yeah,
has the highest restrictions is because we were set up to fail. You have 2 to 3 families living in one apartment. Literally one person gets fucking exposed or has COVID.
Yeah, yeah, forget it.
Now you've multiplied it by the many.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The spread rate here is ridiculously fast.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the amount of people we have. It's the amount of people we have in such a condensed space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the part that I struggle with when people don't get that concept. Right? Like, understand you can only control so much.
Yeah.
You can control you, what you do.
What you do.
But if you're one of these people that lives in a multiple family household, yeah, guess what? For you to be the one that's very like, you know, I'm going to just do me.
Mm-hmm.
Your factors are way out of your control.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is why I'm okay with like people that like want to stress out about it. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, it sounds bad, but I mean, guys, like at some point, one point or another in the next year,
mm-hmm,
whether it's 6 months ago, today, or next year,
uh-huh,
everyone's going to have to just at some point say to themselves, okay, I accept that this is what it is.
Yeah.
And people just aren't. It's this blind faith in these solutions.
Yeah.
You know, this blind faith in these solutions.
I think that if we get to that point, then we get into the point that is like we give up on our leaders, right? Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because right now we're fighting on the fact that it's like we still want to remain open. We still want to have some type of normalcy. We want to have some type of holidays. We still want to, like, you know, listen, I'm not into that, but I get it. Some people are, and I understand why people like this holidays. I get it. I understand the whole process and the whole thing. I just don't give a fuck about it. But I understand people like to go shopping. People want to go see lightings and mm-hmm, have a whole bunch of family together. And to be honest, some people will still do. My family will still get together.
Of course.
You know, and we know that we're risking it.
Yeah.
You know, especially me. Because I'm at the hospital. So they understand that, right? And I think once they get to the point that, oh, this is just the way it is, and whoever dies, dies, la, 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 that's when we just gave up on the system.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting there.
No, I don't think we are. I think, listen,
let me tell you why I think we're going to get there. Because I don't think, like you said it before,
yeah,
and I'm going to kind of like reaffirm what information you gave, the vaccine is really not going to change anything. So
it's not going to change. It's not going to change. The conversation Charlie was having off before we hopped on to record was, you know, we're talking about, you know, this vaccine and how, you know, how it's going to affect everything coming up.
Well, the idea is that they think, but the conversation basically is, this vaccine is not going to be one cure stop all COVID.
No, because even now they're still saying, even though you have the vaccine,
you have to get a second one.
You have to get the second one. It's like a booster almost. Yeah. And then to achieve the 90th percentile plus, right?
Yeah.
And then even then, it's like not everyone, that there's a reason why it's 90th, because there's still, or 93, because there's still 7% of the population, yeah, that it just doesn't take.
So meaning that we're going to continue to go this all the way until probably the next summer.
Yeah, you're still going to, you know, even with it, you're still going to be required to social distance. You're still, there's still going to be travel restrictions. Yeah. There's still going to be.
And that's the thing that people don't understand.
Yeah.
And this is why I think, in my opinion, people haven't really rebelled yet, because since the vaccine just came out.
Right.
I think people truly haven't understand what this vaccine is gonna and not gonna do.
Right.
And so it has become a deterrent in terms of society unrest, right? But mark my words, March. Once March hits and nothing has changed, people are going to riot again.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Because nothing will change in March.
No.
We're talking about 3 months from now.
Yeah, no.
Nothing will change. Quarantine will still be in effect. Lockdown probably will be more in effect. Mandatory masking will be in effect for sure.
I don't know. I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think lockdowns will probably continue through.
No, but that's my point.
Through the middle of January.
Because right now everybody's on the fence right now in terms of like, let's see what the vaccine does. And right. Once they realize that, yeah, maybe the vaccine does help, and then in March you get the second batch or April, right? But people are not even concerned about the vaccine in terms of like, what I'm getting from people is, if I get vaccinated, they're not thinking in terms of like, okay, if I get vaccinated, I don't have COVID anymore. No. People are thinking in terms of, if I can get vaccinated, then I can go back out.
Right, go back to my normal life, or what used to be.
Yeah. And that's the thing people don't understand. That will never happen.
You could, I mean, let's call it what it is, right? If you could snap your fingers and tomorrow. Again,
you've been feeling very Thanos tonight.
Why?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying.
Cutting people population.
I'm not saying
now
that.
Now snapping fingers.
No, I didn't say that.
Easy, bro.
I'm saying if you could snap.
Watch the Avengers before you came here?
No, I was going to say, if you could snap your fingers and give everybody the vaccine tomorrow and distribute it, even with a 90th percent effective rate. I'll go one step further. You could give the vaccine to everybody and it have a 100% effective rate.
Okay.
There's still people that are not going to feel comfortable going out. There's still people that are not going to want to leave, you know, not social distance.
But Sam, that's okay because that's a personal choice.
Right.
Yeah. But my thing is, even with 100% guarantee, right, it's my point is, it's not what people's reaction in terms of what are they going to do after the vaccine. The problem is there's a big majority, and I want to say it's probably the majority of the population who thinks the vaccine is the cure.
Is the end all.
Is the end all.
It's not.
Yeah, and I think once they realize it's not, then people are going to fucking...
Well, here's the bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Like, everything that I've either listened to or, like, you know, studies I've looked at and passed, they all kind of point to the same thing. And this is the part that's going to really, like... It infuriated me, like, when I really, like, looked at it. But the average virus in these strains, they tend to not die out, but they tend to, like, it's done its part. We'll call it that, right?
Yeah.
The environment has acclimated to it. It takes about 3 years. Best estimation that everybody will be vaccinated will be in 2022, exactly 3 years after
it came out.
Or, no. Yeah, something like that. 2022, yeah, like mid-2022. Mm-hmm. So about 3 years after it's came out already.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saving, what, 6 months? Mm-hmm. After all this shit that we've been through, we're saving 6 months. Like, that's what really was, like, agitating. I was like, so what's all this been about?
I mean, it's been about the spread. It's been about saving hospital for overflown cases.
Right.
But it's not even done properly.
You say that, right?
Yeah.
You say that, but then this is where things get very, like, dicey, right? Mm-hmm. At least for me. Because then it's, like I said, everything then gets political. And then you look at how other countries have handled their cases. Other countries have used their stadiums for hospitals, makeshift hospitals. Other countries have built more hospitals.
Fucking China. They didn't build like China hospital. China
built
like
a 1,000 bed.
In like a 2-3 months?
Fuck no.
What was it?
China built a 1,000 bed 1,000-bed hospital.
Yeah.
And I want to get this right. We're talking days. This was not months.
Now, can we also agree?
The Chinese work really hard. Yes, we can.
But it also is probably a shitty hospital too. And what they consider,
but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
for these types of cases, I mean, what you really need is the products, yeah. Right? The vents. You know, you really need the things that are going to help it. But this whole argument that it's going to overwhelm our system, build fucking more hospitals. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They could have put a lot of legislation in place that that could have definitely made a difference in how fast things were built. You know?
Yeah.
But they didn't.
6 days.
Yeah. We're talking days. It wasn't a week. In a week.
The city of Wuhan is set to complete a hospital in 6 days in order to treat patients suspected of contracting the coronavirus.
Yeah. So, you know, listen, man, I get it. I get that you know, people are going to become frustrated and all that, but understand it's like this whole thing is just, it's so fucked. Yeah. And I'm honestly just, I'm so sick of even talking about it. I'm so sick of even,
let alone we've been doing almost a whole hour. Well, and a half, I feel,
you know, yeah. we've done some other stuff, but it's like it's everywhere now. Fucking yesterday,
it's
bro.
It's a new reality, man.
Dude, yesterday. Okay. We've talked about this, right? I was me and my wife, we watched that show on NBC, This Is Us.
Oh, right? Gosh. What's so good about that show? I heard if I watch it, I cry. I'm a crier, so probably would, huh?
I mean, you might.
Yeah. I might, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Just watch it. You'll it's either for you or it's not.
There's so many things I need to watch on TV right now. I haven't had a chance.
What's that? It's NBC. It's free. So just... So, you know, where they left off last season, right, was like... this is like the cliffhanger, right?
Oh, okay.
And then they showed like, on next season, right? Then they show this preview, right, of like all this shit happening. And you're like, okay, cool. Like this is going to come out. So obviously the new season gets delayed because they're not allowed to record, right? The industries get shut down and all this shit, right? Slows down. Finally comes out. Now, it's probably like we were behind like 2 or 3 weeks or some shit.
Okay.
And so yesterday we finally watched like the first like episode. Within a minute, within 90 seconds of that show being on, they had already mentioned coronavirus, wearing a mask, distancing.
You tried to say that there was a propaganda in it.
Then within 3 minutes,
okay,
they're talking about the video of one of the main characters. He's one of the triplets. He's okay. Black because okay. He was adopted, and
so there's a triplets and only one is black.
So, I mean, I don't want to ruin the that's okay, the premise. Is it there's triplets okay. Anyway, and the black one is adopted.
I love it.
So. You know, within like the first 3 minutes, then it's like him. He was sent a video of like George Floyd.
Oh, so they took it there.
Then it goes into, and I'm like, why the fuck can't I get away? Like, don't people watch TV to escape this shit?
Yeah.
But
this is you,
bro. It's just so like it's so frustrating.
That was so good.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. Well, and I just, I don't know, man. I'm hoping that we don't even continue talking about this further going on.
We live in this hypersensitive society, dude. And then they're going to touch those topics because they're sensitive and people are very emotional about it. And, dude, that's what brings TV. Look at the fact that you're talking about it. That is the whole point.
It's annoying.
Well, annoying enough for you to bring it up.
Right. But it's annoying.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, bro, like... I was like, let me breathe,
you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with this shit.
Oh no!
Like, dude. I turned it off. I was like, fuck this. I'll.
The next wave of horror movies is gonna be about COVID movies.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah,
I'm sure Grey's Anatomy is that are already released the fucking episode about a pandemic virus.
I made a joke about Grey's Anatomy, by the way, and I know there's a lot of people.
Fuck Grey's Anatomy.
Thank you. I never see these fucking doctors working. All I see them just hooking up in the fucking elevator in the hospital.
Oh, you know what I love?
By the way, worst security in the hospital ever.
Right.
Because everybody hooks up in the same fucking elevator.
Bro, worst security in the hospital ever. They let people in with guns and shit, like shooting everybody.
Bro, what the hell was that?
Bro.
Yeah.
It's, listen, My wife likes Grey's Anatomy. She's like, she's made me watch it, or she's had it on.
Never.
And I fucking laugh so hard.
I had never seen one episode in that show that they're actually doing medical work.
No. Oh, and apparently nurses don't exist in ERs. Did you know that? They have like seven doctors and an on-call surgeon working on one fucking patient somehow.
Not a CNN, not a tech.
No, no one.
Not in a registration. Nope,
no one's there. Just doctors work.
They do it all.
Bro, it's every time I watch that show, I'm just like, you guys are fucking stupid.
It's either the more efficient ER in the world or it's the worst ER you could actually go. Dude, because nobody's registering.
And then they have the worst luck, bro. They have like, they get fires there. They've gotten earthquakes. They've been cyber attacked. They've had fucking, they're like a plane of doctors has crashed. The fucking, the main doctor everybody was like in love with, he fucking died in a car accident.
Maximilian McDreamy.
Yeah, fuck him, dude.
That's all I know their names.
It's just...
You know, in the real world, the hospital would have been shut down, right?
Yes.
You know what?
It would have been defunded like a long time ago. That is
Martin Luther King Hospital for all we know.
Right.
Only that there's a bunch of white people working in there.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, man. That shit, like... That hospital would have gone defunded so long ago.
Government would have shut down. They would have shut that shit down. A long time ago.
Telling you.
Seriously, guys, let that show go. Is it like 12 seasons now?
No.
Who the fuck watches this
show? No, it's like 16. It's way more. It's like 16 or 17 seasons. Bro. Shows like that, I don't understand. Like, let it go, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they should make a rule. In my opinion, every TV show should go up to 10 seasons.
Oh, that's too much.
No, but some shows, you can pull Name that one. Longevity. Friends.
The last two seasons of Friends were dog shit.
Okay. But I'm saying 10 seasons is like, if you want to pull it that way.
Six.
No, for me, 10.
Six.
No.
Tops.
Five should be tops. But my thing is, if you're going to go that way, at least don't go above 10. Because after that, what are you aiming for? 10 seems like a good number to finish. Wrap it up.
Six, bro.
Yeah. No.
Six.
I agree. But yeah.
All right. So no.
By the way.
2021.
Let's change this fucking.
Yeah.
Let me rinse my COVID off of me.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, let me sanitize this conversation. Yes. What are you looking for the new year, 2021?
So, 2021, the big thing is really going to be just establishing some roots, man. I got to, you know, this year, like, you know, like you said it very much, it opened my eyes on essentially like my limitations here. And what I realized was living in Southern California just isn't for me anymore.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm the same.
I
mean, we haven't told the world yet, but I guess might as well. Like you and I don't know, we may not even go the same route, but we all been talking, not just us, other friends as well.
Right.
About leaving the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and that's probably gonna happen next year.
Yeah, so I've already started my exploration, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
To see where I want to land eventually.
Yeah.
I have a trip coming up in a few weeks, so I'll be checking out the Northwest. So we'll see, man. I hope that I can find
Vancouver, baby.
My goal is for 2021, my goal is going to be to find a place,
mm-hmm.
establish roots, and that just means a whole new chapter in my life.
Yeah.
So I really can't say what it all means or how it's all going to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course.
I just hope for no hiccups. Like, that's really what I hope for.
There's this Spanish saying that says, uno propone, pero Dios dispone, which means you plan it, and then God decides whether it's going to happen or not. Well, good for you, man. I hope that happens. And for my own selfish ways, I hope we decided to go in the same direction.
Yeah.
Knowing each other, probably not. because we tend to pull different directions a lot.
We're in different. We have different perspectives.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of funny because this is something that my wife and I have talked about, how even traveling, you know, we've visited a lot of the places that we've been to before,
mm-hmm.
But you don't look at the same things. And what used to matter just doesn't matter like as much. You don't view it the same way, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird going to like, best example would be like, it's weird going to like, you know, you like to visit a certain area and it's like, oh, the downtown scene's really nice. And then it's like, you know, you like the vibe or like, the, you know, they have good food or
yeah, like it's the nightlife, the alley.
And then it's like to go back to that area and be like, okay, now where are the good schools at? Like, where are the higher rated schools?
Oh, Jesus.
And then you're like, oh, now I'm not even in downtown anymore. Now I'm like in the burbs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, it's very interesting that like the whole search is really based around a future of a child.
Hey, that's what I told you last time we talked about this. It's like, listen, I know where you're aiming for. I'm not there yet. Right. But if I'm near the vicinity, and I told you, if we can find a place that is kind of like, I don't want to be in the downtown area.
Oh, but no one does.
some people do.
Unless you're that kind of person.
Yeah, but I want to be in the vicinity of it.
Right.
I want to have the advantage to say, listen, I'm only 10, 15 minutes away.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think what was very eye-opening this year was just that, you know, the amount of... It became very frustrating, you know, talking to my wife, and I was just like, you know, how sad is it that, you know, we're both full-time employees, you know, make a modest income, and we can't seem to, like...
Live
happily, like, not, I mean, we're, you know, we live happily, but it's like, we can't live to the extent that we want to live.
Well, no one can in California.
And it's like, what am I really getting for my, like, the question I kept asking myself was like, and this is something I encourage everyone who lives in Southern California, especially all you people that live in the same home with your, you know, your brothers and your parents and all that. Yeah. And think about getting your own place.
Yeah.
I want you to really, really ask yourself this question.
Yeah.
Like, what are you really getting from your taxes? Like, what are you getting from the money that you put into this state? And, you know, again, this is conversations you and I have. They're very driven and they're constructive because we're both very informed. Mm-hmm. And we take the time to really, like, look into these things.
Yeah.
And frankly, like, the people that don't do that, I mean, that's cool. But understand, like, when you don't do that, then plan on staying in this trajectory for a while because not much will change unless you really look at like how it's going to affect your life in the future. So
a lot of people don't think in those terms. They don't plan ahead. They don't think ahead. They don't think like, you know, I mean, this is why they're in the situations that they are, you know?
Right.
And they don't understand why. And
I'm trying to just, I'd rather move too soon than too late.
Hmm. Yeah, point.
So, you know, where I see it going, again, how we've talked about it, like how I see the developments around where I live.
Yeah.
Now Angel Stadium is going to fucking be sold and that's going to be a whole new
thing. That's going to go high.
The fact that they've already signed deals that all the carpool lanes will be gone by 2030. They're all going to be turned into toll roads. Like, those are your, by the way, like those are your taxes building those roads.
Yeah.
That they're now going to charge you to drive on.
To drive on it, yeah.
So seeing all that is so infuriating. Mm-hmm. So infuriating. And then you look at other states, and granted, there's definitely like a hard line of like what I won't, what I will and won't do. Mm-hmm. Like I know myself.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to the East Coast, like, because I'm not an East Coast person.
Different attitude.
And the
cost of living is not even much different.
It's not much different depending on where you really want to live, right? Like, so it's that fine line of like, where do I actually like want to live?
Yeah.
But then also I feel like I belong. You know what I mean?
Or where you can mesh well.
Right.
What can you bring that it will be like, you know, like you got to think of like, you know, obviously.
Well, you're going to want to live there too. You know what I mean? Like you have to want to live
there.
You want
to thrive there too.
You want to thrive. And that's probably the best word is, you know, after a lot of consideration, I realized that I'm not thriving here.
Yeah, I agree.
I would, and I mean, you'll laugh at this because it's you got a taste of it, but I would thrive more living back in my hometown.
Oh, Jesus.
I would.
I am laughing at that.
Yeah, I would because
you will be driving a racing car for sure.
What? Yeah, of course. So, but I would be thriving. I'd be a homeowner, right?
Yeah. But here's my thing.
But you have to find the balance. Yeah. I would never want to live there for a lot of reasons.
I mean, my thing is, if those are my choices, right?
Right.
Okay. Granted, I was in Porterville not too long ago.
Yeah.
Small town, nice people. Fuck you, Starbucks. You suck at it. You can't even serve a proper coffee over there, you fuckers.
Leave him alone, bro. Leave him alone.
Anyways, but besides that, great town. Yeah. dude, you should see that. Side story, we went to Porterville. We went to have dinner with Sam and his friends and his family over there. We appreciate the invite. Love it. But on the way out, me and Gabe, Gabe and I, we were riding together, Chonchon, we decided to go to Starbucks. And we order coffee, bro. You can't fuck that up.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Apparently, you can.
You can. Yeah, absolutely. You can.
Yeah. They even fucked up the water, bro. I was like, what? And I told Kay, bro, they don't like us here, right? Get the fuck out of here. But anyways, but what I was trying to say with Porterville, small town, right? What people was like, what the fuck is Porterville? It's above Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Where is that at? Yeah, if you don't know that, that's exactly where that. Nowhere. Yeah.
You had never even gone past the Grapevine, have you, or no?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. That's like...
It was a whole weird drive for
my
me.
Phone was like, are you okay? Where you at? Should I call 911? But my thing is, if my options are being a homeowner in Porterville and be a apartment renter in Orange County, I'll take Orange County every day.
Right now.
Now, the way I see it is, I don't want to be in California anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? Put it this way. We talk about this, right? Yeah. We talk about this. You say, well, what if you have money? Right? What if money is not an issue?
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I still don't want to be here.
Yeah. Well, that was the question, right?
That was the question.
That's the question that I ask a lot of people when it comes to like living in California.
Because it's like
if you had all the money, if you had all the money in the world, or at least what did I say? I said if you had enough money
to live well,
to own a home, to own your vehicles
here,
and to have and you had enough money that you could survive off and thrive and be fine. Let's say your income is like $500,000 a year.
Yeah, because 100 doesn't get you anything here.
Like, would you still want to live here? Is that going to make the difference in your commute to work?
Well, I don't commute to work, but anyways.
Right. But like, is that going to make the difference in your way of life? Are you still going to want to live here in Southern California? And I think, you know, for me, it became just the idea of the populace, right? The populace is still very condensed. I'm still going to have to deal with the same type of people, the same type of traffic, the same type of bullshit.
Our people are not that bad. Some of them. I just see the trajectory that we're going to.
Right. And it's getting worse. And year after year, it's gotten worse.
And that's the trajectory that I'm not happy with.
Right.
That is like, I'm getting older. I don't know if I'm going to have a family or not. Let's just, for the sake of conversation, I do. Then I definitely don't want the kids grow up here. Let's just go the opposite way. I don't have any kids and I'm getting older. I definitely don't want to get older here. You know what I mean?
Can you retire here? You want to retire
here. Even if I could, I don't want to retire here. Exactly. That's my point. And this is something that you and I, we've been talking about it deeply and we give some thought about it. And listen, I'm not going to trash California. Love California, great state. But I think in my opinion, my personal opinion, California already gave me everything that it needs to give me.
Yeah, I think
and
so
I'm,
too.
And I'm ready to move on to my next chapter in my life.
Yeah.
But I think you and I, we're a different breed.
Yeah.
In terms of like, we are nomads. Yeah. We don't like to stay in one place.
You get the itch after a while.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that you left Porterville, the fact that I left El Salvador.
Yeah.
And then we're here. And then, you know, obviously you have done more traveling than I have in those terms. I think you and I, we have always this idea that is like, you know, this is not it.
No.
I told you even before, this cannot be it. Because then I refuse to believe this is it. You know what I mean? And you know what? I'm going to try a different state. If I fail, then I know where I can come back.
Yeah, man. And you know what? It's funny because I always tell people that. I say, you know, even as minuscule as like moving out of your, like moving out on your own. Like everyone kind of comes to that point in their life. And if you haven't come to that point in your life, like, you know, let me just reassure you or something. Like if you're able to do it and your reservation is that you're scared that it's not going to work out, you're literally, your situation right now, it's not going anywhere. Like,
but the funny thing is you adjust
and you'll get used to if you have to come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can.
Yeah, you
can. And that's the thing. It's like that fear just kind of goes out the window. Yeah, and yeah. For me, it's, I feel the same way, man. I feel like, you know, I love California for what it is. Definitely, you know, the diversity of Southern California was really great for me in my younger years, right? In my developmental years.
In your formative years.
But, you know, it really shows how different and how you're affected by the way you grew up. And, you know, I talked to my wife about this, and it's like we talk about the future, like where would we want to live, like what we look for, you know, and we have different views. Like she wants like a house in the burbs with parks and like good neighborhood and like, you know, schools right there and this and this. And then like I'm like, yeah, I want a house with like some property, and I don't want to be around anybody, you know? And it's funny because the reason I even moved to Southern California is because like I didn't want that. The reason I moved to Southern California is because I was sick of that lifestyle where like I have nothing around me.
Oh, okay.
Like I wanted to like be in the shit. Like I wanted to be in things. Like I wanted to have things around me.
I think it's normal as a young person want to be in the mix.
Yeah.
And as you're getting older, you just want a little bit more solitude, a little bit more space. But now space. I'm just
like, bro, I don't even want to see my neighbor.
I wouldn't like that. Like I don't want to be in the mix, but I do want to live in some type of suburbia. I want to know my neighbors. Like I'm ready to do that thing.
No, I'm fine with it. But if you're telling me like what's like my ideal?
Yeah, no, I can't.
What's my ideal?
I don't want land.
Fuck, bro.
I don't want land.
I want to be able to just like, I'll never forget. I was visiting.
Give me a 3-bedroom house with a basement and a nice little yard. I'm happy with that.
I was visiting Washington. This was a few years ago. I went to this island. Like my sister really likes cider, and you know, she's a cider person. So, if you know anything about like cider, like the Pacific Northwest is like
the Mecca.
Fuck, so many, you know, that, or you have to go up to like Canada. But, we go to this island. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to take a ferry. It tells you about like all these signs on the ferry are pretty much say like, oh, if there's any storm or whatever, like you're stuck. Like, just understand that you're going to be stuck on the island. Like,
there's no way out.
And they only travel certain times. So if you miss that last one, then you're staying overnight. Mm-hmm. Like, you're on that island. But we're going on the island. We go to this property. And I'm just like, how amazing, bro. Like, these people, look at them. Like, they have a house, their land, they have their trees. Like, they're like, they're living off of a lot here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's like, it was big enough of an island that you drove into town, you know, which only had like a few stores and just like to get what you need, you know?
Yeah.
Like nothing that you ever recognize, like all mom and pop shops. I was just like, yeah, this is my future. Like, this is what I want to be around. This is what I want, you know? Just like solace, chill out, you know,
you're your solace, bro.
I feel like ultimately, man, like you live a more relaxing life that way. And I think the people just, when you're, you know, I see a lot of these homes and developments, like even down here, like they build all these homes in these suburbs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, you could see into your neighbor's dining room, like eating, you could see their dinner. Like, that while you're eating dinner, you can see their dinner. And it's like,
that is true, though.
Why would I purchase a fucking home in Southern California? We're talking a decent home, which now you're talking north of $700,000, right?
Yeah.
And I can see my neighbor's dinner. Like, that shouldn't be a thing, right?
Yeah.
I should be able to just, like, you know,
mind your own, have my own fucking business.
Space. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. It's, I don't know. I hope, like I said, 2021, obviously, we'll get all the cliches out of the way. Obviously, we wish for good health. We wish for, you know, a peaceful living. And we wish for camaraderie. But that's my plan, man, is to find a place to find roots.
Okay, well, I was going to say, you didn't sound too solid in the idea of like...
And maybe not here, no. No,
but that is going to be a good year. I don't know, man.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. My thing is, it's like there's so much uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
And my thing, more than anything, is I don't have a plan, right? Like, I'm figuring it out. I'm going to figure it out by levels, right? Step by step. First, the step is, where do I want to live? Then it's, okay, figured out where, right?
Yeah.
It all makes sense. Now it comes down to, okay, now it's finding employment, right? Then it's transition. Then it's settling in. Then it's, I'm here now, right?
Yeah.
So.
But I think that is the best part. Once you're there.
That's the exciting part. What I'm saying is, roughly, that's the plan.
Yeah.
My hope is nothing gets in the way of that really rough just plan, right? Yeah. I'm hoping nothing gets in the way of it.
Hopefully not. But, I mean, there's a lot of factors that are going to come in. I think,
right.
I think the next 3 to 6 months are going to be tough. In my opinion, socially, it will be tough for some people.
Yeah.
I don't know how people are going to react to it. And it's going to put you and I in a position that we're like, whoa, you know, like.
Yeah, you know, I anticipate.
Because I do anticipate a lot of unrest, a lot of angry people.
Yeah.
And
why you got to go down again? Why are we going down the road? No, wait. Let's talk about what are you looking forward to?
What I'm looking forward to next year is to actually do the things that I didn't do 2020.
All right, so Cuba. Portland. You said something else in there.
Florida.
Miami.
Okay. I'm going to get Miami out of the way.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to do the things that I want to do. So next year, there's 4 trips that I must do.
Let's hear it.
So definitely Portland, Washington. I don't know why I always been drawn into it.
It's great. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Shout out to my people over there. To our listeners in Portland. But anyways, so that's the one. Cuba, Iceland, and Peru. Machu Picchu.
You're trying to do all 4 next year?
Yeah.
Oh, good luck, bro.
I'll
call you on 2.
I can lose Cuba. I can definitely lose Cuba.
You're gonna be at a 50% effective rate, I feel.
Okay. I can definitely lose
I see you Cuba doing Miami and Portland.
No, I don't want to. Well, I mean, but see, Miami can be like a weekend trip.
You say that.
Yeah.
But then then you look at the cost of flights, and then like, fuck, if I'm going to take this trip,
I'm going to make it worth it. No, because I have friends in Miami, so I don't have to pay for hotels all that. Right, so we'll be good.
Exactly. Then you're going
to
be like.
I assume you guys were happy. They're like, listen to a podcast, like, this motherfucker's making money.
You need to come with a negative test when you arrive.
That's another thing. Since I'm not planning to take the vaccine for a little bit, we don't know if we have to be vaccinated in order to travel next year, which possibly could be an issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, we planning, and then God would this propose. Like, I'm proposing what I want to do, and then God would be like, "We'll talk about it later." Yeah. You know. But no, other than that, dude, like, that's my plans to travel. Definitely submerge more into the podcast. It will be interesting if we go different places. Like, how are we gonna manage? But I mean, you know, technology is getting better.
But I mean, honestly, like, it's
Zoom is getting better, dude. Yeah, you can even tell sometimes.
I think you know, we started this back up, and I'm optimistic that we can continue it as frequently as possible. And I mean, really, that's all I can hope for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny how this whole thing developed when quarantine first started. And
yeah.
then now that quarantine, the shutdowns are added again, then here yeah. we are again, right?
Here we are again.
But it kind of came at a good time, man. It's interesting. You know, it did play its own role in our lives, and you know, definitely in my life. When we first started it, it was stressful, but it kept me focused on something else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I got to just learn a lot by doing this thing. And I think that, you know, definitely gave us an excuse to see each other,
yeah.
even without, you know, we're technically considered entertainment, so we don't have the restriction. The restriction doesn't apply to us, which is pretty interesting.
Netflix, come and get us.
Right. So, it's just one of those things, man, that it's like, I have a lot of friends who, you know, I know a lot of people that have handled it just different ways. And,
yeah.
Again, I mean, I won't judge how people handle it,
yeah.
you know, but
I always
finalize this point is, I think where I always just settle in is just at the end of the day, you know, we're limited in our control, and I'd hate for me at least.
Yeah.
For my last, this whole thing has already limited my life in its own ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd hate to think that I contributed more to it. You know?
Yeah, boy.
And so I've definitely have taken advantage of seeing my friends when I could.
Yeah.
I'm getting together when I can with family, which again may not be the coolest or smartest thing to do, yeah. but you know, again, I can only be so cautious, and it would be to me one of those things that I just, if I didn't make a point to really see these people and talk to these people, and who fucking knows where my relationship or friendships would be with them. You know what I mean?
Or sanity,
man.
Yeah.
And I feel, and it's sad when I talk to some people and you can just tell, man, they're like, they're gone.
They're off.
They're there. They're one of those people that they're going to stress about this and the next thing for the rest of their lives. And you're just like, well.
And life is hard and unpredictable, man.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it. It's about those little moments. I think for me, with this whole 2020, of course, learning, it's has been a humble experience. It's a lot of things that I learned. There's other things that I'm in the process of learning. In terms of the podcast, what I do, I mean, yeah, I mean, we get different comments and shit, but I do feel like we have actually participated in a little bit of entertaining to shed a light or shed a moment of whatever we talk, right? Because a lot of people that I know, they've been staying home, not working.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tell me, bro, like, you know, your podcast, dude, give me at least an hour of just busting my ass out.
Yeah, bro.
Or, you know, or...
they miss your voice.
You know, they miss your voice for sure. But you know, we've been getting like the reviews of like, hey, you know, like great. You had me thinking,
yeah.
you had me laughing, you know, and that was the whole purpose. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like has been more like, oh, great. This actually has given me an opportunity to express my feelings, to be very open about it. Despite what other people may think,
right.
Like, or dislike, you know,
it's a little therapy session.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, yeah. I was literally about to say that right now, that there's a meme that I saw in Instagram that it says, why all men, they have to open a podcast to express their feelings.
Yeah.
And then someone responded, well, it's the same reason why all women have to do an OnlyFans.
No, I think it was the same reason women start an OnlyFans when they can't get a job. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. So I'll say, keep doing your OnlyFans. Do you, boo.
That's right.
And you know, this is kind of like a recap. I don't know if it was a recap or not, but hopefully everybody's staying safe.
I think it was like a recap / venting session /
get your COVID out.
All right, get it out. What are we looking forward to next year? And
Yeah.
Honestly, man, it's
question is, what are they looking for? What are you guys are looking forward to for 2021?
Yeah. You guys want to put New Year's resolutions, I guess, but I mean, no one really gives a fuck anymore. So
it's like, yeah. It's
like those gyms aren't going to be packed no matter what.
Same bullshit. You know, it's not going to go anywhere.
I'm going to love that excuse. Be like, oh, I was going to do the whole, like, go to the gym, but, I mean, they're closed right now, so it's like, I can't even go there.
Negative. Gold Gym is open. I just signed up.
There you go.
This is my first week. First week at Gold Gym.
Nice.
I've been working hard getting that COVID, baby.
Nice.
You know, but no, my thing is, okay, let's put it this way. Let's throw it out there in the universe. Your resolution, but let's not talk about the same bullshit that everybody talks.
Right.
I don't want to hear about working out, slimming down. No, none of that bullshit.
Get rid of toxic people in my life. Nah,
fuck it. You know, no. Find myself a man or a woman. Yeah. No. Truly look into yourself and be like, okay, what are the things that I miss in 2020?
Yeah.
And by acknowledging that, right? Yeah. What I want to do in 2021 to not feel what 2020 gave me, right?
And that does not mean go out and get corona. Like,
I mean, hopefully you already got it. Worse if you got something else. But anyway, but yeah, think about it. What would be your 2021 resolution? Not the same bullshit, but give me something else. Give us something new. Give us something to think about or talk about. You know, like, what are you aiming for 2021? What are you hoping? What you didn't do in 2020 that you're definitely going to do in 2021?
Yeah.
Besides getting an STD. Okay. Think about that. Tell us. You know where to find us at TDSKPOD. That's in Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and Twitter. Or you can send us an email at
TDSKpodcast@gmail.com.
It's been a while, bro.
It's been a while, bro.
Yeah.
I got it down packed, homie. Yeah. It rolls off the tongue.
I know. So seriously, like, you know, we're starting again. So we're going to start season numero dos.
Yeah.
I want to say this is like a preamble or prequel or season two, and let's talk about it. Let's see what you guys got going on. Dating, single, married, divorcing, you know, bringing a coronio into your world.
Yeah. Online dating.
Online dating.
How's that going?
Fuck that shit right now.
Does it have a requirement to put whether you tested negative or positive or something? It's going to get there.
We're going
to
get there. I guarantee you. We'll definitely get there. That would be an interesting.
Why don't they do it for STDs though?
Who the fuck is going to lie, dude?
No, but I mean.
No. Oh.
Imagine you're just
talking about paperwork. That. Side note. We were talking about the next app who's going to come out is going to be the one who's going to take your body temperature.
Oh. And it's going to.
And fuck it, we should work on that shit.
Yeah,
that's gonna be the next app. And then I'll say, you know what? If they do the app that they can read whether you have corona or not, might as well fucking just do the one for herpes and chlamydia and all that shit. Yeah. You just scan that body before you go in, you know?
Imagine.
There's a testing that you can do for one disease. I forgot what was it. There's something that you can do by touching. Oh, there's a condom. That's right.
Okay.
There's like, yeah, which is too late at that point, right? Yeah. But apparently there's a condom in Europe that it has a dye that if one or the other one has a disease,
yeah.
I don't know. It's one particular disease.
Turns a certain color.
It changes the color. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. And all I'm right. like, but by, when I heard that, I was like, but you're already in, but might as well.
With a condom though. With a condom.
Might as well just go for it.
And that's an excuse to like not do oral. Hang on. I got to do this first real quick. We'll go from
Seriously.
There.
Seriously. But definitely let's talk about it. We definitely miss you. We want to get back at it. We want to talk about more things that you guys are interested in, you know.
Not Rona.
Not Rona.
No more. And but, no more politics too, man. Fuck this shit. No, we'll see.
Not Rona. Let's take Rona down the notch.
We'll take everything down a notch.
Yeah. You know, yeah, Rona definitely something that we get it.
I need a break.
We get it. But no, man, let's talk about politics and how King Trump is going to take over the world. Okay.
2024, or, baby. Trump 2024.
Let's talk about other topics. What else you guys want to talk about? You know, what else besides besides dating and threesomes? I'm like, what? I mean, and all that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah.
But definitely hit us up. Hope everybody has a great holidays and New Year's.
Good to you, bro. Look at you.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Holidays. Bro, being all appropriate and shit.
I'm Jewish, bro.
Say Christmas, motherfucker.
I can't, dude. I'm Jewish.
Say Christmas, boy. I can't. Boy.
It's like it's my religion.
I'll say it. Say everybody it. Has a Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
A Feliz Navidad and a Happy New Year. And hopefully 2021 is much more and better in store for us. So
definitely, though.
All right, man. This was fun. It was nice catching up. Hasta la otra.
The next one.
Later. Like what you heard? Join the TDSK family at TDSKPOD on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Have a question, comment, or a story would you like to share? Send it to TDSKpodcast@gmail.com. Till next time, tame the dog
and slay the kitty.